Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot trying to miss.
You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 803 of Locked On Raptors for Tuesday, October the 13th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. And you can find the show at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single episode of the podcast. And of course, please make sure you're checking out the entirety of the Locked On Podcast Network. Got lots of great stuff for you to check out going on, breaking down the NBA Finals on Locked On Heat and Locked On Lakers. The baseball playoffs are going on right now. Lots of fun stuff over there. Rays, Astros, Dodgers, Braves all have shows covering those teams for you in depth after each of their playoff games, and a whole lot more. The NHL had a crazy week. If you want to hear about the signings in Toronto by the Maple Leafs, you can check out Locked On Leafs with Mike DiStefano. I believe he had Jamie McLennan from TSN Radio on the podcast last week, so please go check that out. Subscribe, rate, and review. All right, on today's show, we are continuing our chat with Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs about the Eastern Conference as the offseason is now in our sights as the Lakers have clinched the NBA title. Congrats to them, I guess. And we now look ahead to the 2020-2021 season where we have no idea what the hell is going to happen, when it's going to start. But Chris and I just kind of went through the East and riffed on some teams and talked about where we think those teams are and why some of them are frauds. Naturally, of course, we got that in as well. This is a deviation from the schedule I was thinking for this week. Doug Smith is still coming on the podcast, don't you worry, from The Star, talking about his book, We the North. He's going to come on Wednesday, just the scheduling issue, so that's no big deal. We'll get Dougie on Wednesday, and we'll continue to finish out the player reviews to close out the week as well. We got Patrick McCaw to talk about. We got Serge Ibaka to talk about. A whole bunch more, so we'll get to those. But for now, we'll finish off our chat with Chris Manning that we started on Friday. If you've not heard the first part, we talked about the Raptors in that part. On today's edition, we talk about the Cavs, naturally, because Chris obviously covers the Cavs. We talked about the Bucks, the Sixers, the Heat were in there as well. I believe the Celtics we got to. Lots of good teams in this one after we kind of loaded up on crap teams on Friday. So enjoy this one. It's a lot of fun, as always, with myself and Chris Manning. And we'll be back again on Wednesday with Doug Smith to talk all about his book, We the North. Enjoy this and have a good one.
Hey, I'm Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs.
And I'm Sean Woodley from Locked On Raptors. Chris, we're recording the exact same time we recorded our first half of
That's
this,
darn
but
right
it's
we
a
are.
Different day. Podcast magic, baby.
Look, we're just about that efficiency here in the Lockdown Network. You know, I've been in the dregs of the offseason for months. You've been a little less so in the dregs, but you know what, man, you got to just be efficient. You got to knock them out when you have time and, you know, make time for other stuff you want to do, even though like the world's crazy and, you know, you got to like, you shouldn't go eat in restaurants and stuff right now.
Yeah. I mean, if we're being honest, everyone's been in the dregs since March. So
I feel you, dude. So if you're listening, we list part one, go back and check it out. We talked about the Nets, the Bulls, the Pistons, the Hawks, the Raptors, and the Pacers. So we have a bunch of teams.
Talking about the Hornets too. Oh, how dare you forget the Hornets?
Sorry. My apologies to Tyler Zeller and the extended, Hornets extended universe.
It's Cody Zeller on that team,
is it?
I think.
Yeah, it's Cody Zeller. Look, I don't think about the Hornets very much. Doug Branson, if you're listening, I'm really sorry, my guy. You're a wonderful man. But Sean, where do you want to start here? We ended on a good team. Do you want to talk about a bad team? Do you want to talk about another good team? Where do you want to go?
We got a lot of good teams to talk about, so maybe we should burn through a good team and just kind of go good, bad, because there's more good than bad, I think, today.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. So let's start with the Milwaukee Bucks. How about that?
Oh boy. I'm out on Mike Budenholzer as an effective playoff coach. I'm just I've seen enough.
Wait, you don't want to run it back next year and see if it all works again? You don't want to
like
you don't want to be steadfast in your opinion to the point of it being problematic?
Like, look, Bud needs to just like play Giannis 40 minutes in a playoff game. They probably should have kept Malcolm Brogdon. And you know what? If I were them, I would fire Bud and hire Ty Lue. That's what I would do.
We should have a branding effort on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tune into your Locked On Podcast with short bite-sized episodes, guaranteed no longer than the number of minutes Mike Budenholzer will play Giannis in a crunch time playoff game.
This is great. This is absolutely
wonderful. I'm gonna text Locke after this.
Yeah, be like, look, new branding. Like, we're gonna, if it's good enough for Mike Budenholzer, it's good enough for us. Which, you know, tough look for us if that's the case. But
yeah, the Bucks are weird because, like, the two things I said that they should do this offseason, they've already said they're not going to do, which is fire Bud and trade for Chris Paul. So I'm like, okay, I guess we're just getting the same Bucks. I can't wait for Giannis to come to the Raptors the next season. Works for my interest, that's for damn sure.
Right. I want to ask you this, though. Was this playoff run an indictment on Giannis at all for you?
No, I don't think so. He's really good, man. He's insanely good at defense. He's better than Anthony Davis, as much as Lakers fans will say to the contrary for some reason. He's like, Giannis is ridiculous. He's the rightful MVP. Sorry, LeBron. Again, Lakers fans having some sort of,
I'm titling the podcast this so I can get all the listens.
Yeah, no, definitely. Lakers fans. Giannis, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kobe. That's the name of the podcast title, and people will click on it for sure. They'll think it's an ESPN podcast. Bling. I don't know what that sound effect was. It was mixed between a bazinga and a.
It's the high horn. Production quality we invest in here. Podcast network.
Absolutely. Where was I even going with that? No, it's the Bucks supporting cast. They didn't keep Malcolm Brogdon, and they said, "Yeah, Eric Bledsoe, baby, let's do it again." It was Brooke Lopez. All right, we're gonna have you play this exact one kind of defense, and you're gonna be very good at it. But guess what? In the playoffs, that's gonna get exposed by Nikola Vucevic, and there's nothing you can do about it. They are the definition of insanity, just running the same thing back over and again and over again with the same coach who has the same ideas. I know they've only done it twice now. It seems like Bud's been the coach there for years, but, you know, I feel like Budenholzer got like so much shine because he took over the Bucks and made them good instantly. But people forget that he took over from Jason Kidd. Like, that was not a hard turnaround. You just do the things that Jason Kidd refused to do because he was terrible at his job. So, like, congrats to Bud for not being Jason Kidd at coaching. The playoff stuff, we've seen it. We've seen it with Spo. We've seen it with Nick Nurse. Even Frank Vogel and what he's done so far in the playoffs. Like, adjustments are everything in the postseason. Adaptability is how you win titles. And the Bucks don't have it either in their personnel or in their coach. And I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. Like, do you swap out Brooke Lopez and try to find some new center? Like, I don't know who's taking Brooke Lopez at this point at the money he's making. Like, they just made bad decisions of who to keep and who to let go. Chris Middleton is old. The whole team is old. They're an ancient team too. That's the other sort of secret thing about them is, like, mm-hmm. other than Giannis, they're all old as hell. So where is their hope? They've screwed up all of their drafts. Like, the best players picked with Milwaukee Bucks picks in the last 6 years have been OG Anunoby and Norman Powell by the Raptors. Like, it's just, they don't do a good job building the team around Giannis. They haven't for years. And I'm sorry, but Dante DiVincenzo doesn't save that.
No. Also add that to that list, Kevin Porter Jr. was originally a Bucks pick. It came via, they got that pick, and he, not that he would have helped them last year, but like, that's you, if you're a team like that, you need to kind of do some of the development work, and KPJ is like kind of really interesting.
You need young players on cheap deals so that you can keep Malcolm Brogdon, and also to, like, I guess, allow you to pay Brooke Lopez $12 million a year, whatever the hell he's making.
Just trade for Chris Paul.
Yeah, trade for Chris Paul. It's not hard. He will win the title for you.
Point guard stuff, obviously, like, they don't always age well, but I would trust Chris Paul to.
He's doing just fine. Like, yeah. I think the Bucks, I would be very comfortable picking them to win the title if they just got Chris Paul. Even if they got Kyle Lowry. And that's not an insult at Kyle Lowry. Nobody loves Kyle Lowry more than me. He's not Chris Paul quite, like, I think. I mean, he might be better than Chris Paul right now. I don't know. But, like, they are that kind of point guard away from probably pasting everybody on their road to, like, a 16-2 in the playoffs, I would think. But, like, they just have not good players around Giannis, and that's not Giannis's fault whatsoever.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about another confusing team.
Sure.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay.
Do you like the Doc Rivers hiring?
I don't know. Like, what's he going to do about a roster that makes no sense with a lot of money that makes no sense? At least he's not the GM, I guess. I don't think changing the coach was the fix to what ails them. Like, they're just fundamentally broken the way they're built. And I don't even necessarily mean that, like, Simmons and Embiid can't work together, because I've seen it work together. Like, the Raptors almost lost to them when they won the title. Like, they were the toughest opponent they played
the entire playoffs in 2019. But that doesn't really work when you have Al Horford and Tobias Harris taking up ungodly millions on the wings and at the forward spots. Like, they just don't make any sense. And Ben Simmons probably isn't a point guard. And maybe you have to trade them. I don't know. It's just such an unsolvable riddle because they've put themselves into this corner with all this bad money on the books, all of this sort of inflexibility, that even if Simmons and Embiid could work together in like a perfect circumstance, it seems now impossible for them to build that circumstance, you know?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you just got to trade Horford for shooting, even if you're like losing some value on that and everything.
Who wants Al Horford?
The Kings. Get Buddy Hield.
I guess.
I would just call every team until you could get some shooting.
Who wants Al Horford for $30 million a year for the next 3 years?
The Sixers also may be the team that would benefit the most from an amnesty clause.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely.
Just amnesty Al, like right there.
That or like the John Wall contract for the Wizards.
We'll talk. Do you want to talk? Let's talk about the Wizards. The Sixers are just like perpetually just like a
TBD,
black
man. The Sixers are TBD. I have no idea.
Respect to Doc. I'm a Doc fan.
Yeah, I think Doc's good.
That's a really hard job.
Yeah. Elton Brand screwed them over with the Tobias Harris trade, and Brian Colangelo and his callers ruined everything else. Markelle Fultz, like them screwing that up, messed them up too. It's just, I don't know. They are so perplexing to me. I put my hands up in the air.
Would you, looking at the Wizards, would you trade Bradley Beal if you're the Wizards?
For the Wizards? I mean, probably. They're not going anywhere with him right now. I mean, maybe Rui Hachimura becomes amazing. They don't have a necessarily great pick this year in a not very good draft because they made the playoffs somehow.
Right.
Although did they fall below? No, it looks like they, they had a worse winning percentage than the Hornets. They fell below the Hornets in the standings, which is hilarious.
Yes.
I just, probably you trade Beal and get what you can. Although because of the financial climate, like what teams out there have both like big money and or space plus good stuff to trade for him? It doesn't seem like a very good trade environment because of the flattened cap and things like that too. So I don't know, man. I bet the Nets would come along. Like the Nets getting him would be terrifying, and I would hate it for a lot of reasons. But I mean, maybe they can cobble together the salaries between Dinwiddie, Allen, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and get some picks and figure it out. Yeah, I think you probably got to. It's not like an easy thing if you're a Wizards fan, but like I guess I could get trying to run back the John Wall Beal thing again. And I hope for John Wall's sake that like he can play healthy, because like he's again coming off an Achilles injury, and that's like insanely hard to do. You know, that's not an enviable situation.
Say this about the Wizards. Beal's got 2 years left on his deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens this year? Like maybe Troy Brown is actually a thing, because he seemed like he might be a thing. Maybe Hachimura figures it out. Maybe you make like a couple decent little signings. Maybe bring back Bertans, and you know John Wall.
Oh, that's
looks
right. He's a free agent. Forgot about that.
And John Wall looks a little bit better than you thought. And like maybe in the Eastern Conference, there's something resembling like a 6 or 7 seed because Beal is that good. And then maybe you say, okay, we're gonna adopt the Raptors model where we just try to go from the middle, wait, bide our time, have culture, build it up, and then try to strike when the iron's hot, when an opportunity presents itself, or just be pretty good, make the playoffs a bunch of years, and that's also pretty good. I could see that maybe working if their young guys kind of figure things out this year and they get someone good in the draft. But I think if by deadline time it's like, oh yeah, wait, Hachimura is really bad and Troy Brown is nice but not enough and Wall is a broken shell, then you do it. Does that make sense?
No, I think it does. Weird team, Wizards. All right, we're going to take a break here, come back, talk about some more Eastern Conference teams right after this.
We'll get back to the chat with Chris in just a second, but right now I want to tell you all about Roman. How many times have you used the excuse like, oh, I had a long day at work, or I'm just not feeling it? Look, erectile dysfunction is not easy to talk about, but Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet, and you can get started very easily. You just go to getroman.com/lockdown. And complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be hard to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an an online visit today and connect with a doctor to take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off on your first month of ED treatment. Once again, GetRoman.com/LockedOn. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Go. As I've mentioned on this here podcast, I do morning radio throughout the week a lot of the time as well, and that makes me very tired because I'm up very early, and then I get to the middle of the day and I hit this wall where I just feel like I need to sleep, nap away the afternoon, and then I end up not getting anything done and kind of feel crappy about myself. Well, guess what? You can break through your wall with Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. It's easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages, and you can put it wherever. You can put it in your briefcase when you're going to the office, you can put it in your golf bag if you need to power through the back nine, or you can just keep it in your pocket to get through the day. Maybe you're going for a bike ride and you want to have it on hand to get you up that final hill. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy, but without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in three great flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, and chocolate mint. How does it work so well? Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with the good stuff as well to ignite your work, including beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks up to keep you going strong with B6 and B12 vitamins, 10,000% of your daily dose of those important vitamins. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, and hair and skin health as well. This stuff literally makes you look and feel better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you can get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
Sean, where are we going next?
Ooh, let's go with a bad team again. Let's go with the Knicks.
Oh, man. James Dolan sell the team. And why Tibbs? Like, I guess I get the connection and all this stuff, but like Tibbs is just like poor RJ Barrett is going to have no knee cartilage.
Yeah, Barrett, I'm very, very concerned, is going to be Wiggins 2.0, and it's not cool. Thank the Lord for Jamal Murray and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Canadian basketball fans.
Yes. like, what do the Knicks do? Like, I just don't know what they do.
Keep trying to get a good player in the draft for once. Keep telling yourself, I'm so bored by the Knicks. They've been the same thing for how many years? We're gonna sign guys. We're gonna sign guys. We're gonna get the first pick. We're gonna get Zion, baby. We're gonna sign guys. They don't do any of that. They're trash, and they will stay trash until Dolan sells the team. And that's kind of how I feel about them. I mean, could they get stupid and throw like $28 million a year at Fred VanVleet? Yeah, probably. Would they be stupid to do so? Yeah, probably. Is he fixing them? No. I don't know, man. Of all the teams in the East, I think they are the least interesting to me, considering they just seem like they're stuck on this like doomed hamster wheel.
Yeah, I would agree. And then you just consider like they don't have a good high draft pick this year in kind of a bad class. Like, you know, like I don't think that Dolan, like it just seems like Dolan kind of disqualifies them from being competent enough to like bring in top tier free agents who would like to live in New York. Like, breaking news, New York's like a really great city. Like, I like New York quite a bit. But like Brooklyn is the better run franchise, and like that's like probably a big reason why KD and Kyrie are there instead of playing for the Knicks. So like, sorry, Spike Lee. I empathize with that situation. It's just like I would like to see some of their young guys go to their places. Like, I think Frankie Smokes like could be interesting in a better situation.
They just keep breaking dudes, man. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. Like, free agency, like, let's get these guys out of there and see if they can do stuff in other places. It's just like it's just a black pit. Whereas like, I feel like I could say nice things about the Hornets and the Pistons. There's not just like a lot that I look at the Knicks. I'm just like Mitchell Robinson is a nice little story, but like, I always think he's one of those guys that I think is like probably a little like overvalued for like what, how much
he's the
he
only
plays.
Good thing they have.
Yeah, and it's the rest of it's just like sure, like the Knicks exist, and that's like a weird thing. Like the fact that like Marcus Morris on that team and like was just clowning is bizarre.
Them trading for Chris Paul would be the funniest thing,
or Oladipo, because that was the other thing that was out there, and they were talking about two firsts for Oladipo, and I'm just like, oh my god.
Them trading for Paul would depress me because I want Chris Paul to win a title somewhere, but it would be unquestionably one of the funniest things of all time.
The NBA desktop of the Chris Paul tree.
Imagine Chris Paul dealing with James Dolan. just
not what you want.
The least pleasant interaction of all time.
Yeah. God, we need to move on.
Yeah, I don't want to think about JD in the straight shot anymore. Let's go to something new.
JD. Oh my God. I want them to win a title so JD in the straight shot can like be in a balloon and like riding down Fifth Ave, like, and just with the Knicks parade, just him wailing away. I actually don't want that. That would be bad. That's just bad karma I'm putting out into the world. Let's do the Heat because they're in the finals.
Yeah, fine. They're probably not in the finals by the time we hear this. They probably lost.
That's very true.
Or maybe they've come back courageously.
Can I just ask, if are you on the spectrum of where we're at with the Heat and the Heat culture and everything? Like, how much do you buy in on a scale of 1 to 10?
I hate Heat culture. I think it's stupid. I think it's joyless. I think them fat shaming guys at a town sucks. I think Pat Riley should eat ice cream for once in his life and have some joy instead of just eating ash. I think Jimmy Butler, I was very anti-Jimmy going into this season. He's changed my mind. I'm fully bought in on the Jimmy Butler cult. Yeah. He's awesome.
Yep.
And I love Bam. I don't really care about the rest of their team, if I'm being totally honest. They're nice. I think it was a strange year. I think the Raptors probably would have beat them had they played them in the conference finals. Maybe that's me being overconfident, but I think the Raptors had some matchup edges that the Heat wouldn't have been able to handle. And I don't know. They're a great story. It's been a weird finals, man, because I want no one to win. I want a tie. I just want LeBron. I want LeBron to win and for Lakers fans to derive no joy from it and for Rajon Rondo to derive no joy from it. And I want for the Heat to lose. And if the Heat were to win, I'd be sad for LeBron and happy that Lakers fans are sad. It's all very confusing.
Yeah, that's fair. I believe in Butler. I think them getting Duncan Robinson and developing him, the way he talks about it, I think there is some realness there. But yeah, it's a little weird. And
definitely works. I just hate it.
Yeah. I do think that, like, I get the vibe sometimes that teams like don't always like do conditioning at the level they probably should. Like hot take for me is that, like, I feel like maybe teams should like do some running more just because like being in shape is important when you're playing professional sports. Mm-hmm. But it's like when it's like, if that's like so much of the secret sauce, that's like kind of weird. I'll be curious to see what they do next summer if they don't get someone good and what that cycle kind of looks like.
Yeah. Cause like they're the team that I'm definitely the most worried about when it comes to Giannis as a Raptors fan. Like, the Bucks and the Heat, I think, are the other ones. So, like, I know the Warriors are out there. It's like, oh, but I think that's just like Warriors exceptionalism becoming a thing now.
Warriors exceptionalism is worse than Lakers exceptionalism, my column.
I disagree, but it's got to be up there. They certainly, like, they're undeniable. They're successful for a reason. They're very good at what they do. I just find it to be a joyless way of conducting a basketball team. And they really don't seem, outside of Jimmy, to have any fun while they're doing it. It's just like, our families are trash. We only play basketball and we work out at 3 a.m. every day. And sometimes we go to Jimmy's coffee shop and that's it.
I have not done the research into Big Face Coffee and I refuse to at this point. I just know it exists.
It's very good and cool.
Yeah. The Tyler Hero thing is also, he's going to have a downturn. And Kendrick Nunn.
Kendrick Nunn is despicable. It'd be great if the finals broadcast one time. I'm safe to say, I think in the final two games or three games of the finals, if they get there, there will still be no mention of why Kendrick Nunn, in fact, went undrafted. It will only be incredulous cries of, how did this guy go undrafted? I wonder. Just Google it. It's not hard.
Redemption stories can happen in society and everything like that, but like at least acknowledge like how you get here.
Yeah. I look forward to Kendrick Nunn on the Philippines national team with Andre Blatch in a couple years.
Jordan Clarkson
in China. Yeah.
Can't believe I had to talk about Jordan Clarkson in the world. So we went to the Heat. Sean, let's do one more in this middle section. Where do we want to go?
I think the Heat will be very good next year.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. They're a well-run organization. They're annoying. But that's a team that like they do a lot of things correctly. And you know what? Like good for them, because there are a lot of teams that can't do things correctly. And Spo's a really, really good coach. Like, and Bam's incredible. Like, I would.
Yeah, Bam's ridiculous. He's so good.
Yeah, Bam is so, so good. And I would, like, give up a lot for Bam if you could get him on your team. And if you could get a player that's, like, 80% of Bam, I would 100% try and do it. Mm-hmm. He's that good. Onyeka Okongwu in this draft is someone that I'd be like, oh, okay, like, let's see. Can you get a version of that guy? Right. All right, where are we going next year?
Boy, we got the Celtics, the Magic, and the Cavs left. We should save the Cavs for last because they're your boys.
Yeah, I've really just been bearing the lead with the Cavs, which is good for my sanity.
That's okay. Let's quickly talk about the Magic.
Okay. Markelle Fultz is still just incredibly fascinating to me because he's Markelle Fultz. And the other thing that's interesting to me about them is it kind of went like very under the radar because it's the Magic and like there's a lot of other stuff going on. But like Mo Bamba came to the bubble, had COVID before he came to the bubble, and then couldn't really get in shape. And I just like, what does Mo Bamba look like in year three? You know, I think Steve Clifford's like a good coach and they're not fun to play against. I think like when I talk to Cavs people, one of the teams they hate playing against sometimes is the Magic because like they're just always gonna, like Steve Clifford is gonna have that team ready to go. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of like juice there. And like when they beat the Bucks in one game, I was like, okay, like we need to stop overreacting to this.
Yeah. And they're like, they're either going to lose Evan Fournier or they're gonna pay Evan Fournier. And I think both are bad.
Yeah. No Google himself.
No good options there.
Yeah, if Fultz could take a big leap, that would be the biggest thing for them. But I don't know how they like kind of elevate from where they are with kind of if like Vooch is maybe your best guy. Like Vooch is good, but like he can't be your best guy if you're like a real contender type.
And like, so look, I know there's been injury and everything, but it'd be nice if Jonathan Isaac were ever just something more than the idea of Jonathan Isaac, right? Like he's never actually shown it on any sort of sustained level. Like, oh yeah, this is this like highly switchable play, the three through the five, shoot threes, maybe give you some secondary offensive creation. Like he's never been that. It's what, a year five now? Like it's just kind of getting time for him to do that. And he's also like hampered by playing with Aaron Gordon, who makes no sense as a teammate of his.
Ooh, they should trade Aaron Gordon this offseason.
They should just like trade everyone with Fultz and just start over. Like, this is a dumb, and Terrence Ross is a kink, but just a dumb.
Yeah, I was waiting for the Terrence Ross stuff.
Don't really see like a path out of the middle for them. And maybe it comes. Maybe Fultz becomes amazing, and maybe Isaac becomes amazing and the idea of Isaac is actually realized. It seems like we're kind of running out of time. And it feels like Aaron Gordon will be retired and it'll be like, oh, but Aaron Gordon's gonna figure it out soon. It's like, yeah. Maybe not.
Yeah, that's tough. Okay, one last break. Come back, talk about the Celtics and the Cavs right after this.
We will finish up the chat with Chris in just a second, but first I want to tell everybody about rockauto.com. I'm picking up my brand new car today. I'm very excited. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to drive it around, but eventually, as is part and parcel with having a car, I'm going to need to get some stuff fixed on it. Guess where I'm going to go to get stuff fixed, to get the parts I need for less money? That is rockauto.com. It's a family business serving online auto parts customers for 20 years. You go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpets. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and so easy to navigate as well. Quickly see all the parts available for your car or vehicle based on the year that your car is. It's got all the brands, specifications, and prices, most importantly, that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the exact same for its professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How'd you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need at rockauto.com. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar you'll ever try. And right now, Built Bar has brand new flavors they've rolled out to make it even more tasty. They have 6 new flavors to be exact, with caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Joining their excellent lineup of 12 original flavors, which includes some of my favorites like peanut butter, banana bread, and toffee almond. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew as well. And they're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for keto diets as well. And with some of the flavors, for example, you've got the peanut butter with 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. Or the brand new cherry barcia has 17 grams of protein, just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. These bars are just much healthier than a lot of the protein bars out there. They're also easier to eat. They taste better in your mouth. They're not all chewy and gritty and gross. They just kind of taste like a Mars. And right now, you're going to get a free cooler with your purchase from Built Bar while supplies last. So get on it right now. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com and get yourself that free cooler.
All right, we're back here. Last segment in our two-part Eastern Conference deep dive. Sean, let's do the Cavs first. I just want you to ask me, like, tell me what you think about the Cavs and ask me questions about them, because I need someone that isn't my co-host, Evan Damrell, to talk to me about them.
Okay. Darius Garland. Is he good? Or, like, okay, you have to choose between Sexton and Garland for the long term. Who do you pick?
Sexton, because Sexton is like Sexton's a good scorer already, and people like need to. I don't think people that don't watch the Cavs enough realize that he's already kind of good. Has some limitations. I'm not going to deny those, but the guy can like shoot 40% from three. The work ethic with him is like the Sexton culture is like something that I'm going to come up with a better name for it, but I'm going to try and like make this a gimmick for me in the next year. The guy's almost a three level scorer already. There's some steps he can take, but he's really good. But I'm also going to give Garland a little bit of a pass on his first year, because he came in, didn't play basically a full year because of his injury, and then like was in a really dysfunctional situation for a lot of the year. Mm-hmm. Year two will be really, really big for him if he can be healthy. And he looked, according to everyone I talked to, he looked a lot better at camp than he did when the season ended. So that's an encouraging sign.
I know this isn't exactly a hot take because they were the worst team in the conference, but of all the teams I saw the Raptors play this year, the Cavs were like the most pathetic, I found. To be frank, like they were just like, oh, this is not a team. The Raptors are destroying them, and it's just like walking through like a soft meadow. It's like there's no resistance whatsoever.
John Beilein as a head coach was an outright disaster.
I forgot about that.
I tried to. The Cavs tried to talk about the fact, like try to sell this thing as like JB Bickerstaff was always going to succeed John Beilein, but like it just like asked you to forget the fact that they signed John Beilein to like a 5-year contract and he didn't make it through a season.
Oh my God.
Incredible galaxy brain stuff from the Cavs. David Blatt, and then it's just like a succession. It's just like the way they just hire two coaches at once, so like you get one out of two chance.
They should hire Boylan.
I don't need that in my life. I have to think about Dan Gilbert and what he spends his money on. So I'm good. Sean, what do you think of Andre Drummond and the fact that they traded for Andre Drummond? And I'll say this, they didn't give up anything of value. It's like John Henson, a second round pick, and Brandon Knight's expiring.
Oh, the most depressing trade of all time, I think.
Yeah,
it's really right up there.
But what do you just make of Andre Drummond in 2020? And if you were the Cavs, what would you try to do with him?
That's a good question. He is a free agent, correct?
So he has a player option worth almost $29 million. So he's not, he should probably
take that.
So he like talks about himself like he's a free agent and like is very coy about it. And I don't think like him and the Cavs are like necessarily like on the same page money-wise as far as what an extension would look like for him. But he's absolutely picking up the deal because he's not going to make that much money in the market next year.
Yeah.
Or this summer if he were not though.
I've never really been a Drummond guy, unfortunately. Like seeing the Raptors punk him every time they've played him probably informs that. But yeah, nice number. He's kind of like a better Hassan Whiteside almost, where it's like he's very clearly like talented at basketball and does things on the court that are impressive, but do they mean anything? Probably not. And I don't know how you sort of channel those gifts into meaningful basketball. I guess it's just like stop lunging for blocks when you don't need to and actually like move your feet on defense and be a good team defender. But like there's something there. Maybe I would not be like, yes, let's pay Andre Drummond what he wants to stay around, because he feels like a guy you tether yourself to. And then you're like, why can we not get past the ninth seed? What's going on here?
If I were the Cavs, I would be trying to like just flip Andre for something. Yeah. I did a poll the other day on my Twitter, and these are the three players that I suggest you try and trade him for: Buddy Hield, Gordon Hayward, and who's the last one that I'm forgetting? It's also an expiring contract. I'll look this up, but like, I don't know what his value has. Like I don't exactly know like what the value is for Andre on the market and that closet, but I'm not interested in like, I think he was harmful in the game he played with the Cavs last year. Like he was just outright kind of harmful in what he did. So Wiggins is the other answer, which is an incredibly depressing answer. But I would be trying to flip him for Hield if you could, just because of the shooting, and maybe that helps in some way. But there's not like a good way forward, and I don't think this trade has aged well. And again, like I think he was actively harmful on the court when he was with them last year, because he just weird. And that's not all on him, because it was John Beilein was still around for a little bit of that, and the slugs comment happened around that time, and. the Cavs were dysfunctional last year, and I think they're at least turning the corner, but I don't know what kind of role Andre plays in that.
Yeah, I think the thing about Andre and like kind of players like him, like Clint Capela, for example, like rim running centers who like
Capela at least block shots. Andre just like doesn't block shots. It's a thing I've learned about him in the last 6 months.
Sure. I'm just kind of thinking like in terms of like that archetype of player where it's like you can't shoot threes, you're basically like a dive man on offense. Like Are we sure that's actually an archetype of player that any successful team has anymore? Because it doesn't really seem like it is. Like, Tyson Chandler is held up as this like bastion of big man play, but like, I don't know. Did the Warriors ever have that? Not really.
No,
they had like passing bigs. The Raptors had Marc Gasol. Like the Celtics have Bam. There's no Nikola Jokic. Like, yes, I guess the Lakers kind of have that with Dwight Howard, but also they have Anthony freaking Davis when things actually matter. And it's just like, I don't think that sort of marginal stand in rim run rebound block shots type of center is actually all that useful anymore. It's just like kind of like the Celtics had like Daniel Tice. He just like picks and pops and like grabs some boards, throws some like easy rudimentary passes and boom, that's all you really need. Like, I think unless you have like a center like Bam or Jokic where you can actually run your offense through them. And I guess Embiid is like a good enough post score where this kind of works too. Like, unless you have a transcendent big who does something that no one else can do and they can be your hub on offense, what's the point of paying all that money for a really good center? Because probably they do things that are not all that valuable and that you could get, I don't know, like John Henson to do. Like,
yeah,
it seems like that archetype of player was so romanticized for like 5 years and it still is kind of, but it might already be dead if not dying.
If it depends on the money too, like if you're paying Andre Drummond like $29 million, like that's like way too much money. But if you could pay that guy like even 15, I think it's more kind of tenable. Especially when you need, especially if he's like going to eat up shots, I think that kind of guy could make some sense. But that's just not what Drummond does. So that's probably it. They're a weird team. I don't think the Cavs are going to be much better next year. But Sean, I'm going to ask you this before we talk about Boston real quick. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we're only going to say nice things about the Celtics. Cavs, Pistons, Hornets, are you more optimistic about the Cavs versus those teams or no?
Ooh, yeah, probably. They have more like interesting young players like Kevin Porter Jr. and Sexton, I think, are better than anyone, like more promising than anyone those teams have.
You love to hear it from the great Sean. Okay, let's talk about the Celtics. I think their title window, this is a big lost opportunity. This is not a fresh take, but it's just like their title window for me is just so much shorter because they didn't make it to the finals this year. And I don't think they would have won, but like, it's really hard to get there. And the East is again, getting a little bit better. So you know what, like tough look for them and not making the finals this year. And look, like they clearly have some things on the roster they need to kind of figure out a little bit, I think.
Yeah, my thing on the Celtics is that they're cowards and frauds. The Raptors should have beat them if not for Marcus Smart flops and stuff, I think. I don't know. They're really good, but Kemba Walker does not enthuse me as a lead guard in a playoff series. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work. Like, he's not good enough defensively. He's not efficient enough. Just doesn't work. He was perfectly at home with Charlotte. Is what I'll say. I'm just firing a lot of takes on this two-parter, but
that's Sean. It's the quote unquote off season. Like that. This is what we're doing here. I want to see what happens with Hayward there. And
I guess the guys they picked, like I don't know, maybe like Langford becomes something. Grant Williams seems like he'll be pretty good.
I love Grant.
Yeah, big booty. Like, you know, play some four. Like
as a Kyle Lowry fan, I'm glad you got the big butt mention in here.
Hey man, I'm a butt connoisseur apparently.
Big peach fan. The thing that I guess if I were them, I would be trying to find a Tice upgrade without spending very much. And maybe like, I don't know what that is, but I feel like you need a little bit of an upgrade there. But yeah, when I think about next year, like if I was picking teams in the playoffs next year, assuming Brooklyn's healthy, like I think Brooklyn should be better. Miami, theoretically, even though that's your choice, like there's still a window there for them and they're going to be in that upper half, but it's not going to be easy. I think this was like a really missed opportunity for them not to get it in this year and kind of gain something from that. But, you know, yeah. Weird season, stuff worked against them in some ways with injuries and stuff. But I do think you're right about Kemba. I especially think if they play like LeBron or play the Clippers with Kawhi, like he's going to get put in so many pick and rolls.
Yeah, I just don't think they're deep enough necessarily. And I think they, outside of Tatum and Brown, like I don't really trust a lot of their guys all that much. Even Smart, like Smart can go 5 of 9 from three, or he can go 1 of 13, right? Like it's so unpredictable with that guy. He's great. Like I have a lot of respect for him after that series, as like him and Kyle were the two grift kings just dueling back and forth. It was lovely. But
yes.
I there is a real opportunity for the Raptors to beat that team. And if Pascal Siakam is like 10% better than he was in that series, they probably win it. And that would have been lovely, but it didn't happen, obviously. It's lots of ifs and buts and all that stuff. But yeah, I think the Celtics are like the third seed next year again, probably. Second seed, maybe.
Yeah, and if Tatum is continually really good, like that gets them in the conversation. Like he's potentially like a really, really good guy. So we'll
Tatum talk really is exhausting though. It's
It is.
Who would you rather have, Luka or Jason Tatum? It's like, what are you smoking, dude?
It will never surpass the would you rather have Brad Stevens or any player in the NBA from Chris Mannix.
Oh, that feels like a pretty good place to leave it. Why leave on any note other than that one?
No, just that tweet. Chef's kiss. Perfect. Thanks everyone for listening. Check out Lockdown Raptors if you're listening on the Lockdown Cavs feed. Check out Lockdown Cavs if you hate yourself and want to listen to me talk more about basketball. If you're on the Lockdown Raptors feed, but thanks for listening. We'll talk to y'all soon. And wear a mask, be safe, and don't be stupid.